Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop up to 45% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee during the Blinds.com year-end blowout. Up to 45% off now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Welcome on into First Take. Steve Geller along with Charlie Long. It is Saints game day. Stock up on Bud Light. We are broadcasting live from the Rouse's Market on 2900 Veterans Boulevard in Metairie. Shop and save at Rouse's, the official supermarket of the Saints. And are you ready for some football? Monday night action, courtesy of Hank Williams Jr. there. Looking forward to this matchup against the Green Bay Packers. And I know a heavy underdog, this black and gold bunch that's been eliminated now from the postseason. It's now up to 14.5 point underdogs going into this matchup against 10-4 Green Bay.
So we did pick six on Tuesday this past week, Steve. So 6 days ago, and then it was 13.5. Now, I guess a lot of money's continuing to come on the Packers. It's all the way up to 14.5 points. I mean, over two touchdown favorites tonight in Lambeau Field for Green Bay. And it makes sense because this is a Packers team, and we'll break them all down, Steve. But they're legit on both sides of the ball. They're top 10 in a ton of categories. They're just stout. Like, if you're looking at the best teams in the NFC, it's, you know, you're looking at Detroit and Minnesota, Green Bay, all in one division, by the way. The NFC North is very, very good outside of, sorry, Chicago. But then you also have, like, Philadelphia. But Green Bay's in that number. There's a reason that they're one of the favorites in the NFC.
So. And they're still looking to solidify their playoff spot that's not yet clinched for them.
Somehow, huh? Yeah, like
the, tough division.
I know, exactly. And just think of the Vikings. The Vikings are 13-2, and they're not even leading their division.
Right.
It's just because the Lions are having such a great year despite all their injuries. But the NFC North, it's a gauntlet, and the Packers are right up there with them. We talked with Mark Schlereth, Steve, earlier this past week, and he was just like, with all the injuries that Detroit suffered, I'm not sure they're not the third best team in that division.
Right.
Behind, like, Minnesota and Green Bay.
Would it be crazy the Vikings that come out and end up winning that division?
Yeah, I mean, it's not sealed for Detroit. It might have to wait till the final week for it to seal it for Detroit, but three great teams. The Packers are right in that number, and we'll definitely break it down.
Looking at the LCMC Health update, LCMC Health, 8 hospitals, 1 promise of keeping you well. For the black and gold in this matchup, Derek Carr, Alvin Kamara, Bub Means, Chris Olave, all out of action. The positive news that was there on Chris Olave, he was elevated into practice finally, opening his window to come back. Wasn't ready to go this week, but possibly next Sunday we could be talking about the Saints having Chris Olave back on the field against the Raiders.
Yeah, better be safe than sorry with him.
Right.
That hit that he took against the Panthers was vicious, and suffering a second concussion in the same season. Yeah, be safe. And so he's not going to be playing tonight. As you mentioned, no Alvin Kamara tonight. We already know no Taysom Hill, who's been out for the last couple of weeks ever since, you know, suffering that torn ACL. So now you have, I guess, the Kendra Miller show, right?
Right.
Marquez Valdez-Scantling was a DNP throughout the week, but he's still questionable to go. So hopefully he'll be good to go there. Derek Carr, obviously out again for the second straight week. they've kept saying that it's aggressive to say that what happened against the Giants was season-ending for him, that the two fractures that he suffered in his non-throwing left hand. At the same time, he's not going tonight. Is he going to be going next week against the Raiders? We'll have to see what happens. But yeah, you're going to get the Spencer Rattler, Kendra Miller show tonight for the Saints. And it's, you know the gif of just like Squidward doing the future. You get to see the young kids, right, and see what they can do against an elite Packers team.
Yeah, we saw a little bit, obviously, of what Spencer Rattler can do in three previous starts. Then he came in relief in that Washington Commanders game, had a decent outing, but man, oh man, that two-minute drill was what really has to excite you in that crunch time moment that he was able to rise to the occasion, drive the team down the field for that touchdown. Unfortunately, two-point conversion no good, but it was on the hands right there of Juwan Johnson, who could have made a play to end up getting the win for the black and gold. So interested to see, obviously, what he does when you have a step up in opposition. The Green Bay Packers, we mentioned, 10-4 on the season. They're still fighting to lock up their spot in the playoffs, but you have an elite offense and a pretty darn good defense going into this matchup. Looking at the plus-minus, which is your giveaway-takeaway ratio in the NFL, the Saints are a +1. This Green Bay Packers squad, a +10, which is eye-popping, obviously, when you're trying to go on against them in their house and you think takeaways are like the biggest key to this matchup for the Saints to have any chance.
Yeah, exactly. Why are the Packers 10-4? +10 in the turnover differential is pretty darn good.
Yeah. Jordan Love has been outstanding.
To your point, top 10 in a ton of categories, Steve. They're 7th in scoring average, 27.1 points per game, 8th in opponent scoring average, so great offense, great defense, top 10 in both categories in scoring average and scoring defense. Total offense, they're 4th. Rushing offense, 4th. We'll talk about Josh Jacobs a bunch.
Oh, yeah.
He is a stud. They're top 10 in total defense. They're 9th in rushing defense. They're 15th in passing defense, and that's about as low as it gets. But, yeah, there's not really many holes on this team. You're talking about their defense, Steve. Looking at their side of the injury report, Jair Alexander was questionable after being a full participant all week. The two players that they have out, Javon Bullard, the safety, he's going to be out for this matchup. And then Quay Walker, the linebacker, is also going to be out for this matchup. So they are down a couple defensive players there, but it's still a legit defense. Mike's been talking a bunch about Edgerrin Cooper, the rookie linebacker out of Texas A&M.
Oh, yeah.
Little bit of local flavor there. He's from Covington, and he's been outstanding in early run as a rookie linebacker for them. Plays middle linebacker, and he's been awesome. He's all over the field. Just ask Seattle Seahawks fans about Edgerrin Cooper and go look at the tape from that game, and you'll understand what I'm talking about here.
So a rookie winning NFC's Defensive Player of the Week twice this season already.
Yes. So I'd say that's a second-round pick that worked out for them for sure.
Pretty good.
Yeah, but also Lucas Van Ness on the left defensive end spot. He was a former first-round pick. Kenny Clark, Devontae Wyatt, Rashawn Gary, another first-round pick. That is a loaded front. Edgerrin Cooper at the linebacker position kind of leads them there. But then also the secondary, Jair Alexander is one of the premier corners in the game. Looking a little bit further down, Evan Williams, another rookie who's having a great year. Xavier McKinney, one of the best free agent pickups of any team this season. He's tied for first in the NFL with 7 interceptions this year. And I think it was like a run at the start of the season. He had like an interception in each of his first like 5 or 6 games. So he's been awesome for them as well. And yeah, it's just top to bottom.
And
a really good defense.
The wealthy, you know, stocked with talent team gets another player back today. They have Packers have elevated tight end Luke Musgraves off of injured reserve ahead of tonight's game against the Saints. So he will be able to play this evening. Although, man, they've had a heck of a run with the weapons already that Jordan Love has been able to throw to.
Yeah, Musgrave is an interesting one. Mike and I talked about him when we were kind of previewing the draft 2 years ago, not this past year, but the year before, out of Oregon State. We kind of thought that he was part of that loaded class in 2023 that we had talked so much about, like one of the greatest tight end classes ever. Luke Musgrave was one of those guys, and the Packers doubled up. They picked Musgrave and Tucker Kraft in that draft. Tucker Kraft has looked awesome out of South Dakota State. Musgrave was the one that you looked at as this big 6'6", 250-pound target out of Oregon State. He was more of the receiving tight end, where Tucker Kraft was more of the kind of the balanced tight end. Musgrave's dealt with injuries early on in his career. He's still really, really talented. I'm not sure how much they'll use him tonight. They're activating him off the IR.
Like you mentioned, Kraft's been doing a heck of a job.
Exactly. Kraft has been awesome. But it's just another weapon added to, you know, a receiving group for Jordan Love. And Jordan Love's been the maestro. He's been orchestrating all of this. But there's no real top dog of that receiving group, Steve. which makes it the most interesting, I think, because they have a bunch of wide receiver twos and threes,
right?
But they none of them have like the egos of like the top wide receiver ones, right? They all know their roles, they know what they want to do, you know, to help Jordan Love in the passing attack. So you have, you know, Dontayvion Wicks and Jaden Reed and Christian Watson, all these guys that are just, you know, effective pieces for Jordan Love to kind of maestro around.
We're here on First Take, getting you ready for the 7 o'clock kickoff in Lambeau Field the Saints and the Packers tonight. We're going to check in with our Saints sideline reporter, Jeff Nowak, in the next hour, plus be breaking down a bunch of sound for you. We've got Spencer Rattler, Coach Darren Rizzi, also John Kuhn, a former fullback in the NFL, played for the Saints Packers. He is now their sideline reporter.
Cool.
He sat down with the voice of the Saints, Mike Haas, and Deuce McAllister on Fans in the Pro on Friday. So we'll revisit some of that audio. Had a lot of great stuff and insights on this Green Bay team, who, man, oh, man, you talk about tough matchups. This one definitely is up there. We looked at this one right away on the schedule and knew it was going to be a tough game because of who they are and obviously the time of year it is right now in Green Bay. I know it was snowing this morning. I don't know if we're going to get snow during the game at Lambeau Field for this matchup.
I think we got a little bit lucky here. As far as I know, from what I've read, it's going to be like in the 20s, maybe like kind of low 30s.
Right, we're not single digits.
No. It's not like that Cleveland game from last year where it was like the coldest game they've ever played. No, it's not going to be that bad, but still, you're going up to Lambeau Field. It's always a tough place to play, and it's a great Packers team. I mean, if you're looking at the best teams the Saints have played this season, you're looking at Philadelphia, you're looking at Kansas City, and you're looking at Green Bay. I mean, that's really the top dogs of this schedule for them. So it's definitely one of the toughest games they got on their schedule, and there's plenty of reasons why. We already started diving into the defense. There's more we can talk about at that offense, too. It's just a loaded team top to bottom.
Want to hear from you on First Take as we get ready for this kickoff against the Pack. You can chime in on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. It's 504-260-1870. Taking a break here on First Take. When we get back, we'll get into some of our Saints Soundbank audio right after this. So stay tuned on WWL. Welcome back into First Take here at the Rouse's Market at 2900 Veterans Boulevard in Metairie. Shop and Save at Rouse's, the official supermarket of the Saints. It is Saints game day, folks. Make sure you stock up on Bud Light as we get ready. Monday night action, Lambeau Field. The Saints taking on the Green Bay Packers. Going to be a chilly evening, but it won't be so bad for the black and gold. The conditions will be in the late 20s, early 30
right.
degrees. Probably maybe a chance of flurries in there, but it's not going to be single degree temperatures, which would make things brutal. But Coach Rizzi even talked about this. It's warm on the sideline. They got that jet engine heater blowing, going strong for everybody there. So I told Jeff that's my tip for him because I got to go to that Cleveland matchup.
Yeah.
Make sure you hang out by that heater on the sideline most of the game. You'll be all right.
No, Deuce is still going to be cold, but he's going to be up in the press box. That's going to be all good. No, I mean, I think when we initially looked at this game, Steve, when the schedule came out back in, what was it, like May or June or whenever it was?
Yeah.
I think it was May. We were like, okay, this is like the cold weather game that you're going to have to worry about. And Bobby had this real cool stat, and I'm sure he'll talk about it, but it doesn't really matter now. Derek Carr in his career has really struggled in cold weather. But now...
Don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, exactly. Spencer Rattler is going to be the guy tonight, and we'll see him kind of in this first real cold weather game. But even then, it's not that bad.
A guy that spent time in New Orleans and Green Bay, fullback John Kuhn, he sat down with Deuce McAllister, Mike Haas during Fans in the Pro on Friday, getting some insights about this Packers bunch going into the matchup. Well, here's Haas and Deuce with Kuhn, a little bit of that as we continue here on First Take.
Two teams, I don't want to say headed in different directions, but kind of fighting two different battles. And kind of tell me what you have seen, just how this team, Green Bay, fighting through some injuries. You know, you talk about your quarterback missing a couple games there, and then he's been able to be phenomenal. And then defensively, you having different guys miss a little time, but, you know, defensively, you're still making plays. Just talk a little bit about this team, how this season has kind of unfolded so far for them.
It's been a rocky start to the season for the Packers, but they've seemed to found their way as they always do with Matt LaFleur. You know, we like to think that around Thanksgiving, that's when you start to see what a Matt LaFleur football team is capable of doing. Even last year when they won the four out of the last five games to get in the playoffs, they did that at the end of the season, right? And they didn't just cruise through a year kind of the way that people would look at this 10-4 record and say they cruised through the year. Well, it wasn't really cruising. There was bumps along the way. They had to win three games with a backup quarterback. They were able to do just that. It's been a really creative year out of the offensive side, figuring out how Josh Jacobs was going to fit into an offense with so many weapons at wide receiver, and he's having a spectacular year. So I think offensively, the Packers are just starting to hit their groove now as we speak. And defensively, you know, we've had some guys that are injured. We'll see if Jair Alexander comes back to play in this football game this week. He's a big key to what this defense is capable of doing. He's a big reason why teams have been able to move the football against the Packers in recent weeks. So I think the Packers are just starting to play their best football as this second season is on the horizon.
Yeah, and then you look at the division, like you talked about, a team that's 10-4 and still hadn't technically qualified for the playoffs, but look at the other teams in your division that you're fighting against, and you know that is also motivation for you in a sense as well, correct?
Yeah, I think it's a very slim chance, if anything, that the Packers are anything but a wild card team at 10-4. So they've had this season that on paper looks great, but they still have to win a couple games here down the stretch to ensure that they are in the playoffs. And then, like, where can they be seated? Right? The Lions, with all of their injuries, could they possibly have a slip up here down the stretch? Minnesota, we get another crack at them next week. But really, the next game up is the New Orleans Saints. And, you know, the one thing this team has done this year from time to time, and they've played with their food, so to speak. Last week in Seattle, had them on the ropes, were looking to make a knockout punch, couldn't quite do it. And then we had a drive in the second half with the Seahawks, having a chance to make that thing a close game before the Packers intercepted it, scored a touchdown on a fourth down call. So, I mean, they've done that from time to time. They kind of played down to their level. And listen, New Orleans defense is nothing to sleep on. They are still that dominant defense that you remember them to be, or at least they can be. They have that capability in them. So it's one of those games that if you don't take them seriously, you can get caught slipping.
When I watched the Seattle game, and I'm watching it going, my goodness, I don't think...
That was John Kuhn talking about the fantastic rookie second-round pick, Edgerrin Cooper, for the Packers. And, man, they have done a heck of a job drafting. There's a lot of young talent that they've stocked over the last couple of drafts that are really, you know, playing up to their status.
Yeah, Edgerrin Cooper, once again, a Covington native, so some local flavor. But second-round pick out of Texas A&M, and, you know, he is the definition of a stat stuffer. Like, he just stuffs the stat sheet as a rookie linebacker. He does everything. He's so fast. He's all over the field, and he's making his impact felt. In 11 games so far, Steve, he's got 59 tackles, 3.5 sacks, 7 tackles for loss, and then, you know, I mean, that's good enough for a rookie linebacker. That's already great numbers, but then he just adds, you know, 4 passes defense and a pick. So, once again, stuffing the stat sheet so far in his young career. Very promising linebacker, as Kuhn said. And obviously, someone that watches him every single week is very high on him. As a rookie, he's made his impact felt, and the Saints are going to have a game plan to kind of slow him down because he can be a game wrecker on defense.
And talking to some of the Green Bay Packers beat writers, they're not even overloading him with snaps. It's kind of really been relegated and limited his action, too.
Right, and it's going to be interesting to see how much action he does get tonight because Quay Walker is going to be out, one of their starting linebackers. We'll have to see how that kind of plays out. One other thing, Steve, is as far as their defense goes, the sack numbers. They have 40 sacks this year. That's a good defensive front, but the sack production's all over the place. Like, Rashawn Gary leads them with 6.5, but then you also have, once again, as we mentioned, Edgerrin Cooper. You know, they got Preston Smith contributing, Devontae Wyatt, their defensive tackle's got 4. Quay Walker, who's not going to be playing tonight, has 2.5 on the season. They have a bunch of different guys that have poured in a few sacks throughout the season, and that gets them up to 40 as a team. They're getting after the quarterback. And, you know, once again, if you watched how they played defense against Seattle and the Seahawks in their last primetime game, I mean, they were getting after them. And so it's a little bit nerve-wracking for the Saints' young tackle tandem trying to keep their young quarterback and Spencer Rattler upright.
A little bit of news from the NFL right now. Deontay Johnson, the wide receiver that spent time with the Carolina Panthers this season, then the Baltimore Ravens. Well, now he was released by Baltimore and now has been claimed by the Texans. Obviously, after we saw that injury yesterday to Tank Dell,
Not good for him, you know, for Tank Dell's future. But now the Texans picking up another wide receiver and Deontay Johnson off of waivers.
And Tank Dell's knee just like exploded. It was hard to watch in that Chiefs game. And
they couldn't stop him. CJ Stroud.
They couldn't stop him in that game, and so that was tough to see, as you mentioned, Steve. And Stephon Diggs already getting injured, and so now you're looking at basically Nico Collins and nobody else. So that's why they go out and get Deontay Johnson. Deontay Johnson's had a weird path this year. Like the Carolina Panthers trade for him from Pittsburgh, hoping that he would help Bryce Young's development. He ended up just kind of being a team cancer. So they move on from him ahead of the trade deadline. They send him to Baltimore. Shockingly enough, he's still a team cancer.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. So the Ravens just outright cut him. And so now the Texans, who are very wide receiver needy, they're desperate. They go out and scoop him up. And, you know, we'll see what happens. They need a receiver. And Deontay Johnson can run routes. He's a solid NFL receiver. It just kind of, you know, if you're not feeding him the amount of targets he wants, he can get a little, he's got an ego, so to speak.
Well, you got to worry about that, obviously, with a young quarterback in C.J. Stroud. You don't want to have any kind of strife there. You couldn't get along with a veteran, Lamar Jackson, and that Ravens offense. So I don't know what's going to happen, be any different here in Houston. Hopefully he's got a change of attitude for their sake.
Yeah, CJ's a very mature young quarterback, though.
Yeah.
Like, he's 23, but he talks like he's been in the NFL for a decade. So I don't think that Deontay Johnson, even if he is, once again, a team cancer, will be a negative impact necessarily on CJ Stroud's development. I know that a lot of people say that he's had the sophomore slump after such a historic rookie campaign. Really, I think it's because the offensive line hasn't played well, and so that's something that the Texans will have to bolster. But, you know, we'll see what happens with Houston as they kind of make a run for the playoffs.
Want to hear from you on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870. Sound off on First Take as we gear up for Monday Night Football. We're taking a break. We're here at the live at the Rouse's Market. Drink Bud Light. Saints game day, stock up on Bud Light. We'll be back with more after this, so stay tuned on WWL. We're back here on First Take. It is Saints game day. Stock up on Bud Light. Chum, say hey. Me and Charlie are here till 5 o'clock, and that's when the Cajun Cannon will take over on the Bud Light countdown to kickoff at the Rouse's Market in 2900 Veterans Boulevard in Metairie. Stop and save at Rouse's, the official supermarket of the Saints. Looking at this matchup, Charlie, the big one for the black and gold, too, is that Spencer Rattler back under center for the black and gold. Was Jake Haener last game. Definitely saw a lot of struggles with him early on. The offensive line didn't do much of any favors, though, in that game either.
I think Bobby would say this, too, though. Haener had issues with holding on to the ball too long as well. And that's been an issue for both the young quarterbacks for the Saints team. Jeff Nowak had put this out, our sideline reporter, a while back, that the amount of sacks that the Saints have had in games started by Haener or Rattler so far this year is significantly more than one started by Derek Carr. So I think it's just part of the development of young QBs is that they need to learn to get the ball out quicker. Rattler's an interesting case, Steve, and I know we got some audio to get to here in just a second. He started 3 games so far this year. This is his 4th start. He's 0-3 so far in those starts, and he's technically 0-4 in the games that he's played because they lost that game against Washington this past week. The biggest kind of knack on him so far is the completion percentage.
Right.
Other than that, he's been solid.
But I feel like we've seen an increase at least in that in the games. He's gotten better.
Yeah, he was under 50% against Washington. Now, right. The final drive was really good.
Totally
he was like 6 of 8.
Yeah.
You know, but so he made up for kind of a slow start, but that's something that he's going to have to work on. Once again, he's a rookie, so give him time.
And throwing to guys that were on the practice squad.
Exactly. You're throwing to, you know, no Rashid Shaheed, no Chris Olave. You're throwing to Cedric Wilson. You're throwing to Marquez Valdes-Scantling.
Kevin Austin.
Yeah, Kevin Austin, your two tight ends. That's the weapons that they have in the passing game. Not even any Alvin Kamara tonight either because he's going to be out.
Boo.
So if you're throwing to the running back, you'll be throwing it to Kendra.
Spencer Rattler was asked this week, what does he want to build on from last game when he got to come in relief for Jake Haener?
Just keep playing. I mean, football is football. You got to protect the ball, move the chains, score points. I thought we did a good job of that in the second half last game. So, you know, one of our big goals this week is to come out fast. You know, this is a really good team. We're playing one of the best in the league at their place on a Monday night. It's going to be a great challenge. So we got to come out fast and we got to stay fast. You know, we haven't started out great, you know, the last few weeks at home or on the road. And we got to come out hot in the second half as well. So those two areas, you know, we have to be great in.
We've been raving about how this Green Bay bunch is a well-rounded team, hard to find any weaknesses on. Looking at that defense, Rattler breaks down what he's seen from the Pack's defensive attack.
they're good all around. I mean, up front, you know, good linebackers are good. Good on the back end, obviously, with their safety, McKinney. I think he leads the league in picks, so he's a ball hawk. You know, got to know where he's at all times. And obviously, you know, Jair Alexander, you know, at corner, if he plays, he's a one of the best DBs in the league. So just knowing where those guys are at all times. But for me, go through my progressions, get the ball out on time, don't make a bad play worse, and extend and give my guys opportunities, move the chains.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing we saw from Spencer last game was that calmness about the quarterback, that you didn't feel like he was running around, you know, the old chicken with his head off, and that was kind of Jake Haener's issue. Obviously, with the failings of the offensive line, didn't help him either, but I thought that when Spencer came in too, there was more of that calm, cool, collected presence that seemed to settle the offense down as well a little bit.
You saw a little bit of the, I guess, chicken with its head cut off kind of thing that you're talking about there, Steve, with his two games against Denver and specifically the Chargers.
Oh, yeah.
But the Chargers defense is elite. And I mean, that's a tough spot for a rookie quarterback to be playing. But as you mentioned, the kind of spark that he provided in the second half of that Washington game, you're hoping to see him build upon that. Now, the good point that he made there as well, Steve, about starting fast, I think it's a great one to kind of talk about, because the last thing you want is to get off to a slow start and then they just pound away at you with Josh Jacobs in that run game.
Right.
If, let's say, because once again, the Packers are 14.5-point favorites in this game. They're over 2 touchdown favorites, which I think NOLA.com said that's like the most it's been since 2000 for the Saints to be that big of underdogs, which is crazy to think about. But the last thing you want them to do is get off to that fast start with, you know, Josh Jacobs and the passing attack of Jordan Love, and you fall behind double digits early, and then all of a sudden, all they have to do is run out the clock by just pounding you away with Jacobs. That's a recipe for disaster.
Right, and then the pressure obviously comes on Spencer Rattler's shoulders of trying
because
to
catch. Because he has to throw.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has to throw 50 times, and that's the last thing you want to do in this game.
Interested to see if Foster Moreau and Juwan Johnson obviously end up being a bigger part of this offense because of the lack of weapons, and even a guy like Marquez Valdes-Scantling dealing with an injury and an illness.
This is way too early to talk about draft stuff, but the Saints need to take a tight end.
For sure.
And I like Foster as a leader of this team. Juwan, they paid in hope that he would work out. He hasn't really. Now, injuries have been an issue for him as well. But, yeah, you need to address the tight end position in the offseason. But Foster Moreau, Juwan Johnson, those are two guys that, just because of all the injuries you already have to receiver, they're going to have to play big roles tonight, too.
We'll be back with more of First Take live at the Rouse's Market, brought to you by Bud Light. Saints game day. Stock up on Bud Light. We'll be back with more right after this, so stay tuned on WWL. Closing out the first hour of Sports Talk, welcome back in with Saints game day. Stock up on Bud Light. We're here at the Rouse's Market, 2900 Veterans Boulevard in Metairie. Shop and save. Rouse's, the official supermarket of the Saints. Tomorrow, folks, the Cajun Cannon and Mike DiTillo will be in action for a special Christmas Eve edition of Second Guess. You can join them at the Silver Slipper Casino from 4 to 8 tomorrow. Mike D and the Cajun Cannon, a Christmas Eve edition, Second Guess with them. We'll be back with more First Take right after this.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Welcome back into First Take. It is a Saints game day, Monday night football. Make sure you stock up on Bud Light. We're broadcasting live from the Rouse's Market, 2900 Veterans Boulevard in Metairie. Shop and save at Rouse's, the official supermarket of the Saints. Come grab some last-minute stuff if you need to while you're out getting ready for all the Christmas presents. That'll be a spectacular tomorrow. It's hard to believe it's Christmas season's already here, Charlie. I mean, everything just runs by so quick, and we just have three Saints games left in the season, too.
I know, and we're doing the second guest show tomorrow on Christmas Eve.
Right.
I'm like, wait a second. That's crazy. It's already Christmas, almost Christmas Eve, but that's fun.
Oh, and I bet you the Silver Slipper Casino is going to be jamming on a Christmas Eve for sure.
Especially if the Saints can pull off a huge upset win here. 14.5 point underdogs in Green Bay against the Packers, and we've talked about the Packers as a team, their strengths. I mean, they don't really have many weaknesses, especially on defense. Offensively, they're stout in the run game, stout in the passing game. But Steve, I want to look back at their season at a glance here is before we get into some of the Darren Rizzi audio.
Sure.
They lose that opener in Brazil against Philadelphia, who turned out to be a fantastic team. They're one of the best teams in the NFC this season. And then they lose Jordan Love
in that game, right?
Yes, they lose Jordan Love in that game. So they get off to an 0-1 start, and then you know, Malik Willis comes in and plays Superman. They beat the Colts and the Titans back-to-back weeks, so they get off to a 2-1 start. They lose to the Vikings, who are 13-2 right now. So they're having a fantastic season of their own. But ever since then, starting in October, Steve, they've gone 8-2. And those two losses that they've suffered, 24-14 to the Detroit Lions, 34-31 to the Detroit Lions. They've fallen to Detroit twice. That's the only team that's beaten them since October. Like, you're looking, they beat the Rams, they beat the Cardinals, the Texans, the Jaguars. Okay, the Jaguars might be a gimme. The Bears, same thing. They're not very good, but it is a divisional opponent. They smoked San Francisco. They beat down Miami. And then just this past week on Sunday Night Football in Week 15.
They whacked Seattle.
They whacked Seattle. And that was a Seattle team that was kind of, you know, trending in the right direction, winning record. They're kind of competing for the top of the NFC West, which is currently owned by the Rams. But that's kind of what I'm saying here, Steve, is that this team is hot as well. Like, they get off to a 2-2 start. They're a 10-4 team right now. They've gone 8-2 in their last 10 weeks, or last 10 games. And the only team that's beaten them is the best team in the NFC, the Detroit Lions. So, you know, 14.5 point underdogs. So,
now, you know why odds makers have this such an inflated number against the Saints team that, you know, the starters for them, it's hard, you know, to name anybody anymore that was a playmaker on this, especially the offensive side of the ball that's active.
Yeah, it's a baseline look at the Packers as well. I mean, because we can do further breakdown of their proficiencies on offense and defense. But just looking at their season at a glance, after kind of a slow start where they lose to Philadelphia, Malik Willis wins a couple games, but then they lose to Minnesota, they've really been on a roll over the last 2 months. This is a team that's peaking kind of at the right time as we're getting into the end of the season. And, you know, even if they don't win the NFC North, which I think is basically out of kind of reach for them at this point, they play Minnesota next week as well, so it's going to be interesting to keep an eye on. This is a team that's going to be either a 5 or a 6 seed that nobody in the NFC wants to be hosting in the first round or even the divisional round. So they're one of those wild card teams as of now that's only a wild card team because the NFC North is so good. They have three of the best, I would say, 5 teams in the NFC. You can make the argument 3 of the best 4 teams in the NFC come from one division. So
it's pretty remarkable when you look at, obviously, the North. Looking at the flip side, though, the NFC South, The Atlanta Falcons have now taken over possession of first place in the division at 8-7. Tampa Bay ended up losing in Dallas, so those two teams are tied. But the Dirty Birds hold the tiebreaker over the Buccaneers right now.
I didn't get to watch the Falcons game against the Giants. I saw the interception that quote-unquote interception that Michael Penix threw, where he put it right in Kyle Pitts' hands. Oh, and Kyle Pitts, it was a Christmas gift.
Yeah,
he gave it right to him.
Like, here you go.
Yeah, no, take it. And no, it was
in
the red
zone. You always talk about that's a stat that should not fall on the quarterback.
Exactly.
Right there.
It's and you know it wasn't like Juwan Johnson dropping the pass in the end zone for Spencer Rattler this past week. But yeah, now with the Falcons beating the hapless New York Giants, who are enjoying the top of the tankathon list right now because the Raiders won yesterday, which is also crazy. You have now Tampa Bay has fallen out of the playoff race as of now, but both those teams are 8-7. We'll see kind of what happens there.
Yeah, it's interesting because the Tampa Bay Bucks need Atlanta now to lose at least one of their final two games.
Because Kirk Cousins cooked them both times he played them. And so they own the tiebreaker over them. But yeah, no, if you're Tampa Bay, you're rooting on Atlanta to drop one more game. But once again, if you're looking at the NFC standings right now, Minnesota and Green Bay are both significantly better than the Falcons and the Rams. And they may be traveling on the road for those first round matchups because of how the divisions work. So, you know, even if Green Bay wins tonight, which they're obviously significantly favored to do, they improved to 11-4 overall. Packers fans, they might have to travel in that first round, but they'll still be favored.
We've talked about weather in this matchup. I don't think it's going to be a factor for this team unless, you know, the ball gets wet, and that's the worst thing that could happen in the situation. But it's not a rainy game. There's no real wind being an issue in the matchup. The temperatures are going to be around 30 degrees, maybe the late 20s, but nothing so serious where guys are talking about, you know, ice cold, you know, single-digit degree temperatures at Lambeau Field being an ice bowl game. It's going to be snowy outside because it's been doing that there all this week, but it's not going to be a game where the cold weather is going to be affecting players because they're going to be on the heaters on the sidelines. The ball might be a little harder, though, for the kickers. That'll be interesting to see during warm-ups how Blake Groupie fares, you know, trying to kick those in Lambeau Field with the weather out there being so cold, at least affecting the ball.
Yeah, it's going to be, from what I'm looking at right now, Steve, low 30s around kickoff time. And it's not really going to dip much below that, but it's also supposed to be cloudy, you know, windy. It's not. I don't think we're anticipating a snow game tonight, basically, is what I'm trying to say. So
it'll look wintry.
And if you're thinking about, you know, Lambeau Field in late December, I think you kind of got a balmy, quote-unquote, Lambeau Field with those types of conditions instead of having to deal, as you mentioned, with like those single-digit snow temperatures.
Getting back into our Saints Sound Bank as we gear up for Monday Night Football against the Green Bay Packers. Well, interim head coach Darren Rizzi, of course, talking about the pack, and here's what he had to say against this matchup.
Yeah, they're really getting it from all positions. You know, I think I mentioned the other day, when you look at their overall roster, it's hard to pick out a weakness. They really don't have a weakness on their team, and that's, you know, a credit to the organization. They've done a really nice job. They've been really good up front with their defensive line, a number of different guys making plays. Their linebacking crew, they added, they added some pieces to the puzzle there at linebacker. Obviously, the acquisition with McKinney, you know, he's leading the league in interceptions. We've watched a bunch of they've caused a bunch of some turnovers down the red zone. Some teams have been able to move the ball. They did it to Seattle last week. Seattle's about to make it a one-score game, and, you know, they intercept Geno in the end zone. So those are the things that are going to be important. They've been able to make big plays and create negative plays, and that's why their defense has been so good. Jeff Hafley obviously came in. I've known Jeff a long time. He's a really, really good coach, and he's got them rolling right now. 11 hats to the ball on that side of the ball, so it's going to be important. I think the beginning of that game, like I talked about, no different than the quarterback. I think the beginning of the game, just, you know, not letting that defense kind of get the snowball going down the hill is going to be really important also.
Rizzi making a comment there about the snowball. Luckily, we won't be having too much of that issue with snow tonight.
Yeah, but you don't want to kind of have it snowball out of control a little bit if you get off to a poor start and then all of a sudden Spencer Rattler is going to have to throw the ball 45 plus times.
That's worried about playing catch up, right?
Exactly. That's the game plan you have to avoid. And so that involves getting off to a good start both offensively and defensively. You can't let them, you know, run all over you for the first few drives and then all of a sudden you're staring at a 10-0, 14-0 deficit. That's the nightmare scenario for this matchup.
You mentioned Spencer Rattler there. Coach Rizzi was asked, what constitutes success for Spencer Rattler in this game?
I think what constitutes success for any quarterback is efficiency. I think I mentioned the other day that the turnover thing is going to be a huge thing always, but certainly on the road and certainly with what their record has been since Matt took over at home. So I think just, you know, I think getting a good start for him, starting up, getting him some confidence and some positive plays early on. That's what happened last week with Jake. You know, Jake just had some negative plays early, and I kind of felt like it piled up on him. I think the start of the game is going to be important. You know, we got to get him some confidence, get him rolling, but really just being efficient. And obviously, we're playing in some elements. Hopefully, it doesn't look like it's going to be too bad, but it's certainly different than here. And so getting acclimated to that will be important as well. But listen, I think like I said earlier, any quarterback limiting the negative plays, you know, and being efficient. And then we just haven't done a good job overall in the last month or so on third downs. And I think when we get ourselves in some third manageables and converting to drives and continuing drives is going to be really important against this team in that environment.
Coach Rizzi talking about Spencer Rattler there, and we were kind of, you know, going through the takeaway giveaway differential throughout the NFL while we were listening to that audio, Charlie. Unbelievably, the Buffalo Bills plus 20 on the season right now, but not too far behind them, this Green Bay Packers bunch at plus 10. So, you know, they're limiting their giveaways, and they are taking advantage of those opportunities with interceptions and fumble recovery.
Yeah, remember how I mentioned Xavier McKinney, the free agent safety signing that they added in the offseason, and how he has 7 interceptions, which is tied for first in the NFL? If you're Spencer Rattler, you need to know where he's at all times.
Yeah.
You don't want this guy, the ball hawk that he is, creating a takeaway, turnover, and then all of a sudden you're on the minus side of the field. But yeah, Steve, this is a real fun stat because the Packers are tied for fourth in the NFL at plus 10 in turnover differential. And if you're looking at, you know, turnover differential, Buffalo plus 20 is number one. That's unbelievable. Pittsburgh is plus 17 at number two.
They don't even have double-digit giveaways on the season, Buffalo. They have 6 picks, 2 fumbles on the year. So
taking care of the ball.
Giveaways.
Yeah, taking care of the ball for sure. Pittsburgh is number two at plus 17. Houston, Green Bay, and the Chargers and the Vikings are all in double digits, plus 11 for Houston, and then plus 10 for Green Bay, Los Angeles, and Minnesota. Detroit at plus 9. Are you seeing kind of a trend here? All these teams are playoff teams, and they're all, you know, top in the turnover differential. And then you have the outlier, the Chicago Bears.
Well, that was like the Saints last year. They were a plus, what was it, 11?
Yeah, right. The Chicago Bears are plus 8, and they're obviously not a playoff team. But then you continue down the list, the Broncos, the Eagles, the Rams, all these teams that are at the top half of the league in turnover differential are in the playoffs. And scrolling all the way to the bottom, I just wanted to double check. Wow. Yeah, now the Cleveland Browns have actually passed the Las Vegas Raiders. I know the Raiders are really bad. The Browns are minus 18. The Raiders are minus 17. So I would say that the turnover differential constitutes success, as Bobby always says. And the Packers are elite at it, plus 10 on the season. So, you know, as Rizzi said, for Spencer Rattler, taking care of the ball, making sure he doesn't turn it over, which hasn't been a huge issue for him early on. He's only got 2 picks in the 4 games that he's appeared in so far. But yes, definitely making sure that you limit those turnovers is going to be huge.
You look at the Saints defense, they were able to get 8 sacks against the Commanders, and obviously some of those weren't necessarily sacks. They were forcing Jaden Daniels out of bounds for 0 gain, which ends up being a sack. I don't know if the NFL should change that stat category, but we'll take the 8 sacks, though, in the game, but it wasn't really 8 sacks, so they did get 6 in the game.
Yeah,
but they're still credited with 8.
Right, right. No, I remember, like, DeMario had, like, pushed him out, you know, just behind the line of scrimmage, and that was technically credited as a sack. So if you're talking about legit sacks, I think it was about 6, right, as you mentioned, Steve. So, but still, a really strong performance from the Saints defensive line that's been one of the disappointing parts of this team so far. And yeah, Rizzi was talking about building off that 6-8 sack performance against Washington for this matchup against Green Bay.
Yeah, listen, I think that group's playing with confidence right now. I think the best part about the defensive line right now is it's not one-dimensional. We've gotten production from a number of different guys. That's kind of, I think, how we forecasted the season coming into it, is we felt like we had depth at that position. Maybe at some points during the beginning of the year, you know, we kind of played with some peaks and valleys there. I think we're playing much more consistent on the D-line. That's going to be extremely important for this game, the way they run the ball, the way they've been, and then when they mix in their play action, their pass protection. So I think, like I said, I think BY, as I said earlier in the week, has done a tremendous job with that change of scenery there in that room. I think that he's got the group playing with confidence right now. And so that's going to be a huge aspect for this game. Our, you know, one of our goals this week is naturally on both sides of the ball, like it is every week, to win the line of scrimmage. That's what they've done, particularly at home. And so that's going to be a great matchup to watch.
Looking at the Saints and their sacks this season, right now, could you name the leader on the black and gold in the sack department?
Yeah, the guy that everyone expected to take that sophomore leap, and he has in ways, and he's still got areas to improve on. Mickey Loomis talked about that. Brian Bercy, the Saints defensive tackle, 7.5 sacks on the season for the black and gold. And, you know, we were mentioning the Packers have 40 sacks on the season, which is a good number to be at this point. You know, Bobby always says the elite teams are always above 50 by the end of the year, and they're kind of on pace to potentially reach that. But the Saints, with that 8-sack performance that they had against Jaden Daniels and the Commanders, are now up to 37 on the season. So, you know, one of those kind of spots that we thought was pretty disappointing early on, having an 8-sack day obviously helps.
A guy that's turned it up of late is Chase Young. He's been getting pressures, I feel, all season, but has been able to dial it up and really registering some sacks the last couple of games. He's up at 5.5 now, tied with Carl Granderson right behind Brazee. And, yeah, we need to see more out of him, more out of Granderson. Even Cam Jordan getting into the mix would be nice for this pass rush against a stout Green Bay Packers offensive line that, you know, they've been doing a heck of a job protecting Jordan Love, and I don't know where he ranks currently in sacks this year, but I don't feel like he's been getting a ton of pressure in, you know, when he's trying to deliver the ball.
Yeah, barring an explosive final 3 weeks for either Carl Granderson or Chase Young, the Saints defensive ends probably won't have that coveted 10-sack season. They're both at 5.5 right now, and so they would obviously need to turn up the heat a bunch to be able to get that. Jordan Love's been sacked 11 times this season. The whole year, 11 times. And as far as looking at his stats, I mean, getting pressure on him is going to be huge because, as I mentioned earlier, Steve, like the kind of group of weapons that he can throw to, there's no real true wide receiver one. The closest you have to like the true X on this team is the big receiver, Christian Watson. But if Jaden Reed, you know, Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, Dontavian Wicks, like even Bo Melton, and obviously also the Tucker Kraft getting involved in the passing game as well. He's got so many different weapons to spread the ball around too, that it's almost impossible to really get after and defend this passing attack because so many different guys can hurt you. So it's real tough. I mean, Jaden Reed currently leads them with 727 receiving yards on the season, 6 touchdowns as well, is really nice. Tucker Kraft with 7 touchdowns on the season leads the team, but he's also got 555 yards. And Christian Watson, as I mentioned, kind of that deep threat X receiver, the big body type of guy at 620 receiving yards this season. Also 21.4 yards per catch, Steve. So if you're looking at someone to throw a deep shot to that you're going to have to make sure he doesn't beat the deep coverage, it's their kind of big body receiver in Christian Watson.
Looking at this Green Bay Packers offense, we talked about the guy that stirs the drink for them in running back Josh Jacobs. Head coach Darren Rizzi talked about the matchup against a big bruising back. And here's what Riz had to say about Jacobs.
His usage, the way they use him, the way Matt uses him in the offense is really impressive. He can run many different types of plays. He's not just a downhill runner. He can get in the open field and he makes people miss. And so he's a big challenge. I mean, he's playing at such a high level right now. He's playing as one of the best backs in the league. And so and then when you look at what he's done in their home games, it's even more, you know, more impressive. They really get him going. He's one of those guys that get going early in the game. He gets his touches, and you look what he did in Seattle the other day. You know, they started the game off, and he just kind of controlled the game. And that's what he does, the run after catch, the yards after contact. That's really the most maybe impressive thing about him. Rarely does the one guy alone or the first guy there get him on the ground. He's running through contact. That's going to be a huge part of this game. We've done a better job of that the last couple of weeks, and we need to continue, to have that, that success in stopping the run, because that's really right now their offense is just feeding off of him, and I mean, it's impressive.
So the yards after contact seems to stand out, and do you have any sense of why he's been so good in that area? Like,
well, he's a really strong, powerful runner. Even if you look back to his college days, you know, studying him coming out of college, he was a similar thing. He's not a guy you're going to be able to arm tackle. He's a guy you're going to have multiple hats to the ball. You know, we're going to have to do a great job with our swarm. You know, we're going to have to run into the football, the pursuit, because like I said, if he's going through the line of scrimmage and you're just trying to reach out and tackle him, you're not getting that guy on the ground. You need to, you know, make sure our tackling, our wrap, all those things, and that's going to be a challenge with the weather too.
Coach Rizzi talking about Josh Jacobs, who has 1,147 rushing yards, another 302 receiving, and a total of 13 touchdowns on the season. Definitely a guy that's been a fantasy stud for folks and a big problem for this Saints squad going into this game.
So people will look at, you know, the 12 touchdowns and think that I'm kind of underselling him as a touchdown machine, but you got to look a little bit into what he's done recently. And if you're looking at the last few games, starting with Chicago just a few weeks ago, basically the last five games that you're looking at, he had one touchdown against Seattle on the ground. He had three touchdowns on the ground against Detroit, one against Miami, three against San Francisco, and one against Chicago. I mean, he's been a touchdown machine. That is nine touchdowns in the last 5 weeks.
Definitely need to contain him tonight. That's going to be a big issue for the black and gold defense.
Right.
We're going to take a break here on First Take. When we get back, we'll check in at Lambeau Field with our Saints sideline reporter, Jeff Nowak, get the weather conditions firsthand from him. Like I said, we'll be back with more right after this at the Rouse's Market, brought to you by Bud Light. Saints game day, stock up on Bud Light. Be back after this on WWL. Welcome back into First Take, live at the Rouse's Market here on 2900 Veterans Boulevard, brought to you by Bud Light. Saints game day, stock up on Bud Light right now. We're going to head out to Lambeau Field, where my counterpart on the Inside Black and Gold podcast and our Saints sideline reporter, Jeff Nowak, is stationed. So you are still alive, Jeff Nowak. How's it going?
Yeah. I feel like I've built it up so much in my mind that this doesn't even feel cold to me right now. I'm not on the field yet. I'm looking down from the press box, but the windows are open. So I got the full weather in front of me. There's still a tarp on the field, so that's the interesting process right now, is watching them take this kind of Velcro tarp apart. But the weather, you know, it snowed a good bit today. We did get it's winter in Wisconsin feeling of the snow falling, but looks like it's all cleared out. So I don't know if you'll see snowflakes during the game, but, you know, it should be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I just saw your tweet of the de-tarping of the field has begun. What is, besides the weather not being too bad temperature-wise, how's the wind conditions over in Lambeau?
I don't think you're going to get too much wind. I don't see the flag at the top of the stadium is moving a little bit, but the flags on the uprights aren't. So I don't think the wind, I really don't think the conditions, other than being kind of cold, are really going to be a factor. I think it'll end up being not that similar to what we had in New York a couple weeks ago, just maybe, I don't know, 8-10 degrees colder.
Yeah, obviously this matchup, though, against a much tougher ball club in the Green Bay Packers, they seem to have no weaknesses all around, offense, defense, even in special teams. But when you look at this start now for Spencer Rattler, what are you hoping to see from him? Obviously building off of that last performance against the Commanders, especially that two-minute drive everybody's raved about, obviously, where he put the team in position to actually win the game. But now what are you looking for him to do in this matchup against a Green Bay Packers squad that is definitely postseason built and legitimate?
Yeah, you know, I think for Spencer, it's going to be, hey, I want to get off to a good start. If you go back and you look at his three games against, you know, three good teams, right? Tampa Bay, Denver, and the L.A. Chargers. You know, what stands out there is, hey, he did not have any success early on in those games. They had that kind of weird second quarter where the Bucs turned it over a bunch of times. You had the kick punt return touchdown. But other than that, he just didn't get a lot going. So I think that's what he was able to do against the Commanders. He came in first drive, converted a 3rd and 10, went down the field. Obviously, Cedric Wilson threw that touchdown pass, but there was also that long completion to MVS that set that up. So I think just building that confidence early, anytime you have a young player in there, is going to be important. It's something Darren Rizzi talked about this week. And, you know, my question is, okay, so we saw him come in relief and look good, but how much of that is, hey, I don't really have a chance to really overthink anything. I'm just coming off the bench and playing. I asked Darren about that this week, and he agreed. Like, it can sometimes be an easier scenario for a young quarterback, whereas, hey, he's had all week to think about the plan and overthink about the plan and think about first down plans and third down plans and red zone plans, and then you get out there and you freeze, right? And I think that's what I don't want to see this week. You want to see a player that, you know, he's still a rookie. You're still going to see rookie moments, but you want to see a player that took the lessons from those first three starts and applies them to this game. And if you can do that and you can have some positive moments early, I think you have a chance. If you can't and it kind of snowballs on you, no pun intended, it'll get ugly and you don't have the weapons, right? Like, you don't have the wide receivers. MVS is questionable. You know, it sounds like he's going to be a game time decision. He's dealing with a chest injury, and he's been sick all week. Alvin Kamara is not going to be out here, so you're going to be relying on Kendre Miller, Jamal Williams, Jordan Mims. It's going to be interesting, but I think there's a scenario where you come out of this game feeling good about what you saw, even if it's not a win. And that scenario is these young players, Spencer Rattler, Kendre Miller, have really strong days and kind of give you some optimism going the rest of the way.
You were talking about the running backs there, Jeff, and that's where I wanted to go exactly. Obviously, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, not elevated for this game. He's not ready for action yet to be in black and gold for this matchup. But obviously, with no Alvin Kamara, Kendre Miller will probably get the lion's share of the workload in the backfield for the black and gold. But I've been seeing Jamal Williams active on the social media, Twitter and whatnot, saying, you know, back where it all started here at Green Bay. So hopefully this is some kind of wake-up call for him, because he's a guy that, you know, so much was expected, or you wanted to see a lot from this, you know, tough physical style runner coming to New Orleans, and it just really hasn't been the case since he's come here. Maybe this can be the game that can provide some kind of spark for him and the team going in these final stretch of the games.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I wouldn't say that we've seen a ton of him in general. Like, it's not like he's been getting 10, 15 carries a week and not taking advantage of him. He just hasn't been getting touches. So, you know, maybe just the energy around this game for him will be positive, and you can see him kind of lean on some folks. I think this is the type of game that a Jamal Williams is kind of built for, you know, kind of that smash mouth cold weather. You're going to beat him up. You're not going to want to pass the ball too much in these conditions. So, yeah, if there was ever a game for Jamal, you know, obviously this is where he got drafted. He spent 4 years here playing with Aaron Rodgers, this really good Packers offense. You know, and he played in Detroit. He's played in his division even after that. So, no, I do think this is probably a game that you'll get a motivated Jamal Williams. Just don't know, you know, how effective he'll be. But no, I think it's going to be, hey, Kendre Miller, you're going to get the first go at this. You're going to get the lion's share of the reps. And, you know, the only way I see this being a Jamal Williams game is if Kendre doesn't deliver in those early opportunities and you feel like you have to go away from him. So hopefully that's not the case. Hopefully he can not only get out there, be effective, stay healthy, and this could be a kind of a signature game for him. If you remember last year, he missed the first 2 weeks of the season. So this is where he made his NFL debut in Lambeau Field. You know, his cohorts in that game was Tony Jones Jr., if you recall, way back in the regular season last year with all those injuries. So, it's going to be interesting. I think if he can run the ball, make Spencer Rattler's life a lot easier, that'll go a long way.
I know the tarp was on the field and you know, coming off right now, Jeff, but did you get a chance to walk through the stadium at least and seeing that grass? I know Coach Rizzi talked about having to make sure they've got the right cleats for this game, seeing a bunch of teams that were in Lambeau Field slipping and sliding on that surface.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be something that Riz, you know, I know earlier this week he's been doing the visual aids thing. Well, this week the visual aid was like work boots. He came into the team meeting with a pair of work boots and to emphasize like, hey, we got to be wearing the right equipment to get out there and do the job and get the job done. We're here to work. And so, you know, Jamal Williams actually talked about that this week. Like some guys, you know, there's the screw-ins. Like people want to wear their molded cleats because that's what they're more comfortable in. But in this environment, you really just got to suck it up and wear the kind of screw-in cleats to give you a little more traction. And I think you're going to be – that's what these guys are going to be wearing. And hopefully that does solve the problem. You know, there's only so much cleats can do for you. At a certain point, you are going to slip. It is going to be kind of slick condition. So, you know, it's going to be on the players, too, to kind of stay, you know, over their skis a little bit, right? Like, you have to understand what you can do and what you can't do, particularly on defense and with the defensive backfield. I think we look at the offense and we look at, you know, running back slipping, getting in and out of cuts and receivers. But in this type of weather, what is way more impactful is when a DB just slips coming out in coverage and you blow a coverage and the guy's standing there wide open downfield. And that can result in some big plays. So it's not just offense, it's defense as well that you got to watch for.
Well, Jeff, enjoy this once-in-a-lifetime experience, getting to be on the sideline Monday night right before Christmas, Lambeau Field. Enjoy it. Have a great call on the game and be talking to you tomorrow morning on the Inside Black and Gold podcast. Who dat, Jeff?
Yes, sir. Got to go break out the hand warmers now. That's an important part of this process.
For sure. Definitely appreciate it. First Take, we are rolling on here. It's brought to you by Caesars Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the Saints. Coming up next at 5 o'clock will be the Bud Light Countdown to Kickoff with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, joining us here at the Rouse's Market at 2900 Veterans Boulevard in Metairie. Stop by and say hey. Also, shop and save at the Rouse's, the official supermarket of the Saints. Taking a break. Be back with more of First Take right after this break on WWL. Getting closer and closer to kickoff between the Saints and Packers. Monday Night Football action right here on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app at 7 o'clock. Coming up at 5, the Bud Light Countdown to Kickoff with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. Want to remind everybody, Venture Global donating $10 per Saints receiving yards to their Catch for the Coast program. Venture Global innovating to provide low-cost LNG to the world. Their current donations, $31,190. We're taking a break here on First Break and be back to close things out right after this, so stay tuned on WWL. We are back here on First Take. Seaside Cruises, the New Orleans Saints partner with Seaside Events to provide the Saints Nation with the ultimate fan experience. Mingle with Saints legends during the inaugural Saints Legends Fans Cruise. We're closing out here First Take as we get ready for the Bud Light Countdown to kick off. The New Orleans Saints at the 10-4 Green Bay Packers. Black and gold, heavy underdogs in this matchup. We're hoping a little Christmas magic can do some good for this black and gold bunch in Green Bay, and they can pull out a win against a heavily favored Packers bunch. You look at some of the numbers here. Spencer Rattler making his fourth career NFL start. He's passed for 135 yards and a touchdown with zero interceptions for an 84.4 rating last week. He's making his second career road start. His first one was week 8 at the Chargers. The big question will be, and we'll find out later on, if Marquez Valdez-Scantling is going to be able to suit up in this matchup. He had a team high 64 receptions, receiving yards last week. He's got 50-plus receiving yards in 4 of his last 5 games and had 123 receptions for 2,153 yards and 13 TDs in 59 games with the Packers. So maybe we can get an MVS revenge game here against those dreaded Green Bay Packers as we get ready for the Bud Light Countdown to kickoff coming up next. Want to thank Charlie Long and also Cullen Steele for helping us out with the show here. We're going to take a break and be right back with more as we get ready for the Bud Light Countdown to kickoff coming up next on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.